This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. It seems like every day we're confronted with mixed messages about our identity, our purpose, and our values. It's easy to get confused. Today we continue Pastor Rick's new series called Talking About Stuff That Matters. In this series, Rick shares biblical truths and practical advice that will help you and your family grow in your faith, make important decisions, and find significance in the God who created you. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of a book written by Pastor Rick's wife, Kay Warren. It's called Choose Joy, and it's perfect for the trying times we live in. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Creating Life-Shaping Conversations.
If you're smart, if you're wise, if you're a wise woman, you're a wise mother, a wise wife, or if you're a wise man, you're a wise husband, you're a wise dad, you don't ever start with you. You start with them in any crucial conversation. Speak what is helpful for building them up according to their need that would benefit those who listen. Now, here's how you do this. When you sit down in the conversation, you say, you go first. And you just let them speak without any interruption. You don't interrupt them. You don't ask questions. You don't ask for clarification. You don't challenge. You just let them speak. And if they speak for 5 minutes or 25 minutes or 35 minutes, you just let them speak. And here's the key. You take notes. You let them, and if you go, they say something and you have a question about it, you write down the question. You don't stop them in the middle. And you let them speak, and you have something you want to challenge or you want to correct. You don't challenge or correct them. You write it down in your thing. You just let them have a free flow. And you take notes. That shows you care. That shows you're aware. That shows you're paying attention. One time, Kay and I had a conversation about our marriage, and I took 9 pages of notes. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Why? Because it was 9 pages of stuff she needed to tell me. And I've been married 44 years. Why? Because we've been doing this for 44 years. I can prevent your divorce if you'll start doing this, okay? I can prevent your divorce. I used to do marriage counseling. I discovered as long as two people are talking, you can work something out. It's when people both give up the talking. That's true in nations, on international relations. It's true in a marriage. It's true between companies. As long as there's talking going on, you have the potential to make some progress. But I would write it down. I would just listen to her talk. And if I had a question, I wrote it down. If I had a clarification, I wrote it down. If I had a disagreement, I wrote it down. But I did not interrupt her. Okay? So you make notes. You let them go first. And then here's the key thing. You summarize what they said to you before you start. Write this down. Summarize what they said to me. And you paraphrase it back. And you say, okay, let me repeat back to you what I think I heard you say. Because I may have gotten it wrong, but here's what I think I heard you say. And you paraphrase back to your spouse or to your child or to your boss or whoever it is, and that shows your listening, your ability to summarize and your ability to paraphrase and to parrot it back to them. This is the mark of a master communicator. You're listening well and you're going to speak well. But you say, let me say what I said back to you, what I think I heard you say, all right? Now, that is the key. Take notes up. You empathize with their needs first. Okay, the A in learning how to speak like a master communicator is to affirm the positive alternative. I'll have to explain this. Affirm the positive alternative. And what I'm saying is that when you, particularly in a conflict, you want to be a proponent of what's right, not an opponent of what's wrong. You want to be in favor of what we could be doing, not critical of what we're not doing. You want to be positive, be a proponent of the right thing and not opponent of the wrong thing. Because negativity doesn't really change people very much at all. And so you be a proponent, you affirm the positive alternative. Let me say another way of saying it. Don't tell it like it is. Tell it like it could be. Big difference. Tell it like it is doesn't change anybody. It simply it reinforces the negative. But to tell it like it could be builds on faith. It builds hope. And I get a vision of what we could, what our marriage could be. Not what it is, what it could be. I help my child see what they could be, not what they are, what they could be. Don't tell it like it is. Study after study shows that whatever you hold up and people focus on, that's what they move toward. So if you hold up all the negative, you tell everybody what's wrong in your relationship, you tell everybody what's wrong with the world, you tell everybody what's wrong, that's all it does is reinforce it. If I were sitting out there with you today and some guy got up here and started doing a message to dads, and he started telling dads all the things that we do wrong as dads, and the guy goes, you know what, you're a lousy dad. You guys aren't spending enough time with your kids. You're too involved in your work. You spend more time with your sports than you do with your kids. And they tell me all the negative things. You know what all the dads would be doing? Yeah, you're right. You know, we're not very good dads. And we go home feeling pretty bad, pretty lousy, because you just reinforced all the stuff that we already know. And it telling me what I already know, tell it like it is, doesn't change anything. But if a speaker gets up here, and I'm sitting out there, and the speaker goes, I see in you guys the ability to be an incredible father. I see in you the fact that if with God's Spirit in your life, and if you'll build your life and family on this book, on the truth of God, you could become a godly man. And you would be a man that your wife adores and honors, and that your kids look up to and have nothing but respect for. You could be a man in the community that everybody goes, I want to be like that guy. That kind of message makes me want to change. That helps me move. Show me what I can become. Don't tell me what I am. I could get up here every week and for 40 years and I could say, we're going to do sin of the week. And this week we're against this sin, and next week we'll be against that sin, and in 2 weeks we'll be against another sin, and we're all a bunch of sinners. And friends, that's not good news. That's not even news. We know that. I don't need to come to church and tell me what I'm doing wrong. I need to come to church and you tell me how to change it, how to fix it, and where I get the power to be different. Okay? So for 40 years, I've been telling you how to change it with the power of the Spirit and the power of God's truth. And we don't tell it like it is, because that just reinforces the negative. You affirm the positive alternative. Now, here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 15, verse 2. When wise people speak, they make knowledge what? Circle that. They make knowledge attractive. If you're wise, when you have a conversation, you're going to make what you say attractive. And I'm going to teach you the three ways to do that in just a second. It makes it attractive. It doesn't take any wisdom at all to share knowledge. It takes enormous wisdom to make it attractive. You cannot. There are a lot of unwise pastors, unwise school teachers, unwise politicians, or unwise researchers and scientists who can share knowledge. Anybody can share knowledge, but it doesn't mean the kids or the students or the members of the church are going to be interested. It takes enormous wisdom to make knowledge attractive. He says, if you're wise, that will make it attractive. So how do I make it attractive? Here's the three secrets. I'm going to give you, this is gold, you guys. You need this. Here's how you make knowledge attractive. Number one, share the benefits. So if you want to make a change in your family, you better be ready to explain why it's going to be beneficial to everybody, not just you, but share the benefit. How is it going to help me? Every time I teach you, you're going, how is this going to help me? Share the benefit. Number two, the second way you make knowledge attractive is say it positively. Don't say it negatively. Don't say it in a condemning, critical voice, spirit. That doesn't work. Say it positively, okay? There are many, many verses in the Bible about this, about being positive in your speech. Here's one, Proverbs 16:21. Proverbs 16:21 says, a mature person is known for his understanding, and the more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. You want to be persuasive with your kids? You want to be persuasive with your husband or your wife? You want to be persuasive with clients or customers? The more pleasant you are, the more persuasive you will be. I say it like this. I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive. I'm never persuasive when I'm abrasive because it just puts people in a negative mood. Now, tomorrow, you go to some store and you're going to get something and it's not right and the clerk at work is a jerk. I'm a poet and I don't know it, but my feet show it because they're Longfellows. So the clerk at work is a jerk. Now, if they got your order wrong, are you going to get better service from them if you complain and act like a jerk yourself? No. But if you're polite and you're generous and you're gracious and you cut them some slack, are they going to bend over backwards? More likely. More likely. You're never persuasive when you're abrasive. So you may be mad. That's not the time to have that conversation. You need to calm down. Share the benefits. You say it positively. In fact, write this down. Here's a verse for you, a phrase I want you to get. If I say it offensively, it will be received defensively. I could get up here and offend you every week. I could say things that would put you on the defensive instantly. But I'm smarter than that because I want to help you change. And because I love you, I'm not interested in putting you down. I'm interested in giving you a hand up, helping you out. So if I say it offensively to be received, it's got to be positive. And here's the third key to making knowledge attractive. Offer hope. Offer hope. You should always offer hope in a conversation with a child, with a spouse, with a friend, with somebody at work. Always offer hope. People are hungry for hope. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We, Christians, have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. If you offer hope, people will listen to you even when the sermon's long. All right? All right, the K, here's the last one, is keep calm and don't argue. This is the fifth thing in being a great communicator. Keep calm. They may say something that just irritates you no end in the conversation and really triggers you. And they might say something, and you know what? Your spouse knows your triggers. Have you figured that one out? And you know your spouse's. It's not very loving to use them, but when we're not in a good mood, we often do. Keep calm and don't argue. Last two verses. Proverbs 17:27. Those who are sure of themselves do not talk all the time. Those who are sure of themselves, that means you got self-confidence. You're not insecure. Anytime you see somebody who talks all the time, talk, 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 they got a blabber mouth, they are incredibly insecure. Insecure people talk too much. People who are sure of themselves, people who are confident, they don't need to talk. Okay, I know who I am. Those who are sure of themselves do not talk all the time. And people who stay calm have real insight. And you don't let people trigger you. They don't let people hook you. You don't let people, move you, to say, you make me so mad. Then you're saying, you make me. You have the power to control my emotions. Don't argue. Keep calm. James 1:19, we've talked about this verse literally hundreds of times, Saddleback. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you are, do the first two, the third's automatic. If you're quick to listen, and if you're slow to speak, you will be slow to get angry. The other problem is, though, that we do the opposite. We're quick to speak. In fact, we want to interrupt. We're quick to speak, we're slow to listen, and as a result, we're quick to get angry. Now, here's your homework. Two things. One, I want you to look over this list and check the ones, go, this is the one I need to work on first, because you can't work on everything at once. Second, identify a person in your life that you need to have that crucial conversation with, whatever it's about. And then start preparing and praying. You can't schedule it, but you can prepare for it and pray. And at the right time, God will teach you what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I so badly want our church family to be filled with great communicators and great conversationalists. You have given us, your children, the greatest message in the universe, the good news. But we've not always been great at sharing it. And we haven't always been great listeners first. I'm asking you, Lord, to help all of us be better listeners and better speakers this next week. Help us to have some healing conversations in our church family, between parents and kids, between husbands and wives, between friends, between small group people, between people who've irritated us. I'm asking you for some real breakthroughs in relationships. Now I'm asking you to pray. Say, Lord, help me to listen better to the people in my life. Help me to look at people with love in my eyes. Help me to invest as much time as needed, not get in a hurry, to be patient, to take the time for meaningful conversation. Help me to not be too busy to talk. Help me to share what they are feeling, not my solution. Keep me from being a fast fixer. Help me to tune in to any hidden hurt or any hidden fear that's behind the words. And sometimes I need to ignore the words and just look at the feelings. Help me to engage people in my life with open-ended questions. And help me to never judge until I have all the facts. And then, Lord, in speaking to people in my life, help me to save my words for the best time and place. Help me to pray and plan what to say, how to say it, when to say it. I want to be smart. I want to be intelligent. And help me to empathize with their needs first. Not my agenda, not my hurt, not my frustration. Help me to affirm the positive alternative. Not to tell it like it is, but to tell it like it could be. The dream, the vision, the goal, the hope for our relationship. And help me to keep calm and not argue. Jesus, I need your spirit to do this. I can't do this on my own, but I want to, and I'm asking for your help. If you've never invited Christ in your life, say, Jesus Christ, come into my life right now and be the chairman of the board, the manager of my life. I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thanks for joining us for today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today, but first, sometimes life throws us curves. There are little annoyances like traffic tickets and long lines at the market. Then there are deep hurts, like serious illnesses, financial worries, unresolved relational conflicts, or the loss of a loved one. The Bible says it's possible to experience deep and authentic joy no matter what's happening. If you've ever had trouble finding that kind of joy, then you're going to want the updated version of Kay Warren's best-selling book, Choose Joy. In Choose Joy, Kay shares the path to experiencing soul-satisfying joy no matter what you're going through. She helps you send your spiritual roots deep into the soil of God's love so that you can develop convictions and certainties about Him that will become the source of your strength when happiness isn't enough. Today, when you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the book Choose Joy by Kay Warren as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, everybody, it's so encouraging to hear how God's working in the lives of Daily Hope listeners. And so I love getting these testimonies. And I want to share this one that just came to me from Wanda. Wanda describes herself as a Messianic Jew. That means she's come from a Jewish heritage, but she has accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Now, here's what Wanda says. She said, "My life is filled with multiple challenges, both in parenting and with major family health issues. But Daily Hope has taught me where to go in the Bible to learn what God says and why God says what He says. Daily Hope has taught me how to have a relationship with Jesus, and it gives me my daily spiritual vitamin to go together with my Bible reading. It helps make God's Word understandable and meaningful." Now, did you notice in that note from Wanda, she says Daily Hope is just part of her daily quiet time? You need to open your Bible, not just listen to me. You need to get into God's Word every day. Even if you're just looking at one verse, it's a habit we all need to maintain. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down one verse a day and carry that with you throughout the day. You can write it on a little 3x5 card or whatever. And then watch as God shows you how relevant that particular verse is throughout your day. You'll be amazed.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed your life, you can email him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.